This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Ball State students are moving back to campus for in-person instruction with masks at the ready. Many students are vaccinated, others are still pondering the jab. Meanwhile, Indiana and Delaware County are seeing increasing numbers of COVID infections as the Delta variant takes its toll. Ball State President Jeff Mearns returns this week to bring us up to date on COVID numbers and mitigation measures at Ball State as we prepare for Monday's start of the fall semester. President Mearns, welcome back.
Good morning, Stan. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Thank you. Well, what can you say right now about Ball State's vaccination numbers for students, faculty, and staff? Because we've heard from Purdue, we've heard from IU, and Notre Dame. What can we say today?
So the data I have is as current as about Tuesday or Wednesday. So as of Tuesday evening, in terms of all employees combined, all full-time employees, about 73% of them have attested that they're fully vaccinated, which is above national and state averages for the population. Those numbers are very high among faculty, staff, and professional staff, but they're lagging significantly among our service personnel. On the student side, as the data I have is as of Wednesday, more than 72% of the students in our residence halls are fully vaccinated. And when you consider all students who will be registered for an on-campus course, that number is about 62% for all students combined. On both the employee side and the student side, as I said, those numbers are above state and regional averages for the adult population, and the numbers are still increasing among both employees and students and will likely continue to increase as classes resume. But the other thing I'd want to add, and as you know this, Dan, we've talked about it before, any student who is not vaccinated must submit a negative COVID test before returning to campus. That's our pre-arrival testing protocol. And those unvaccinated students must submit to surveillance testing throughout the fall semester. And for an unvaccinated employee, again, they must also submit to surveillance testing throughout the semester if they've not been vaccinated.
Now, you've mentioned before the COVID dashboard for the university, these vaccination numbers, and we talked about this a little last week. Are those numbers up there right now? Will they be up there next week? And how often would they be updated?
They're not up on the dashboard yet, but they will be up in a couple weeks. We haven't posted the number or percentage of vaccinations on the dashboard yet because we really want to determine with greater accuracy who is actually in the pool before we put those numbers up there. And what I mean by that is for the students, when I talked about the percentage, that's a percentage of students who have presently, they include any student who is presently registered for a course. But as you know, every semester, some students who registered over the summer will actually withdraw before classes begin. So when we get the census numbers at the end of August, I think the census date is maybe August 30th or September 1st, after the first week or so of classes, then we'll have the actual number of students on campus, and then we can post more accurate percentages for student vaccines. And the same is, there's a comparable process for employees. The employee base that we're using now is one that was generated several months ago. We will update that shortly, and so that will allow us to post those numbers with greater accuracy than the numbers, the approximations that I've been sharing with you over the last couple of weeks.
When you say that a student or a faculty member attests to being vaccinated, these attestations take form how?
So they're doing it mostly electronically. There's a paper form, but the employees and students are attesting through an electronic submission.
In terms of vaccinations, we all know that Indiana University is the only university that has mandated vaccines and successfully defended those all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. How was IU able to do that and Ball State did not? Was that a choice to not have a vaccine mandate?
That's correct. It was a choice. They elected to issue the mandate. And as you said, the federal courts have determined that it's not unconstitutional for a public university like IU to mandate vaccines for students and employees. And I respect their decision, the approach that they took. But as we've talked about, we've taken a different approach, and we're strongly encouraging and incentivizing and doing everything we can to make vaccines very convenient. And our approach is working. We're not done yet, and we're going to continue to make progress. And I think that's an important point. Also, I think as I shared with you last week, you know, the vaccine is a very important and effective tool to mitigate the spread of the virus, but it's not a silver bullet that you can rely on in and of itself. That's why, as I mentioned a moment ago, we've got pre-arrival testing and surveillance testing and requiring people, irrespective of their vaccination status, requiring folks to wear masks indoors. And that's because, you know, our approach is informed by what we learned last year. And it's a combination of a variety of strategies working together, coordinated together, that are the most effective. And so as a result, we have high vaccination rates and we have these protocols. And, you know, so frankly, I think our campus is probably the safest public place in all of East Central Indiana, maybe with the exception of hospitals and long-term care facilities. But as a result of this comprehensive approach, we are, I believe we're in a good position to mitigate the spread of the virus on campus and among the members of our campus community when they're here.
Should somebody, student, faculty, or staff member test positive, what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, the same protocols are in place this year as were in place last year. If they tested positive, we'll do a very prompt contact tracing process. They will be required to isolate, I believe, for at least 10 or perhaps 14 days. But again, the same protocols for infected people apply this year as applied last year. And those are all based upon CDC guidance and state and local public health guidance.
Well, do you have any words of wisdom here as we head into the start of the fall semester? Things that we can look forward to, perhaps?
Well, we're certainly looking forward to having many on-campus courses this fall. Out my window every afternoon, I've heard the marching band practice. You can see students coming back. So it's always exciting this time of year to see the campus come alive again. And so I think that's giving us all a sense of hope and optimism. We know we're not done with the pandemic yet, but we're making good progress.
President Jeff Mearns, thanks very much for being with us here today, and good luck for a fine academic year ahead.
Thank you, Stan. Have a good day.
You as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.